In one short sentence at the end of today's second reading, St. Paul gives us a summary of the Christian life. Be imitators of me, as I am of Christ. Each of us is called to imitate Christ and to set an example like St. Paul, like St. Padre Pio, so that just as we follow their Christ-like example, others may follow our Christ-like life. St. Paul, St. Pio, are among a line of saints whose actions were a living commentary on the expression, "What would Jesus do?" They sought, as St. Paul calls the Corinthians and us to copy in today's second reading, to glorify God in their eating, to glorify God in their drinking, to glorify God in whatever they did. They sought to do everything they could so that many might be saved. And their work and their example have helped so many to come to salvation. As we're here in San Giovanni Rotondo, made famous by the life, the work, and the holiness of St. Pio Pietrelcina, it's tempting for us to get a little distracted by all of the things Padre Pio did that we will never do. By all his inimitable stuff. The 50 years bearing the stigmata of the Lord, the phenomena of bilocation and levitation, the capacity to read soul, the miracles of healing, God worked through him. But I've always believed that the most important thing about Padre Pio is not what all but a few people, including saints, will ever do, will ever be able to emulate, but rather what all of us can imitate. We can imitate what Pope Paul VI praised him for when he came here just 3 years after his death. Blessed Paul VI said, Padre Pio said Mass humbly. He heard confessions from dawn to dusk and was a man of prayer and suffering. We can imitate him in our love for the Mass, in our love for confession, in our love to encounter God in prayer, and to enter into the school of the cross with Jesus and help others to enter through that same portal. We can also imitate Padre Pio for what St. John Paul II, who himself came here to this church to go to confession to Padre Pio, said about him on the day of his beatification, which I was privileged to attend. He said that Padre Pio's charity was poured out like balm on the weaknesses and suffering of his brothers and sisters. Padre Pio thus united zeal for souls with a concern for human suffering, working to build at San Giovanni Rotondo a hospital complex, which we see right across this square, that he called a house for the relief of suffering. Padre Pio, John Paul II said, wanted it to be a first-class hospital, but above all, he was concerned that the medicine practice there would truly be human, treating patients with warm concern and sincere attention. He was quite aware that people who are ill and suffering need not only competent therapeutic care, but also, and even more importantly, they need a human and spiritual climate to help them rediscover themselves in the encounter with the love of God and with the kindness of their brothers and sisters. Within the House for the Relief of Suffering, Padre Pio wished to show that God's ordinary miracles take place in and through our Christ-like love by imitating Jesus' compassion for others. And he concluded by saying, we need to be open to compassion and to the generous, loving service of our brothers and sisters, using every resource of medical science and technology at our disposal. Where did St. Pio of Pietrelcina learn that warm concern and sincere affection? Where did he learn how to make every effort to foster that human and spiritual climate to help the sick rediscover themselves in the encounter with God's love? He learned it from Jesus himself. And in today's gospel, we can see that concern, that charity, that warmth on full display. The type of love that St. Paul and St. Pio imitated, and God and all the saints want to inspire and help us to imitate too. In the gospel today, the most physically disgusting and repulsive human being imaginable came up to Jesus. He knelt down and he begged Jesus to cure him. Lepers have a bacterial infection that eats away their flesh and gives them a sickening odor. At the time of Jesus, leprosy was considered so contagious that those with it were quarantined for life apart from the rest of the community. They had no one with whom to associate or to care for them except other lepers. They were cut off from their family for the rest of their life. They were cut off from their jobs. Because they were considered so contagious, they were cut off from God and his people. They couldn't go to the synagogue. They couldn't go to the temple. They were cut off from human love and mercy. They were outcasts, ostracized from all things, both human and divine. They had to wear ripped clothes and keep their hair messy so that others would be able to spot them more easily. Whenever they had to travel to obtain something, they were mandated, as we see in today's first reading in the Mosaic Law, to shout out, unclean, unclean, impure, impure. They were forbidden to come within a distance of others. Anyone who touched a leper became, in Jewish mentality, unclean. That the man in today's gospel broke all convention to come close to Jesus was already a sign of how desperate he was. What was Jesus' reaction to this most miserable, nauseating creature on his knees before him? Most of those around Jesus likely ran away lest they catch the contagion. Jesus ran in the opposite direction. He stretched out his hand and he touched the leper. Later on today, we'll have a chance to go pray at St. Pio's tomb. And for the last 5 years, been surrounded by beautiful mosaics with scenes from the gospel. And one of those scenes is today's gospel scene. And you see that leper on his knees. You can see in the stones of the mosaic his rotting flesh. And he's there, and Jesus bends down. And he grabs his hand with his left hand. And he puts his other hand on the leper's head to cure him right then. He touched the leper. We can almost all still hear the shrieks echoing over the last 2 millennia of the people who were shocked that Jesus would do that. It was probably the first time this leper had been touched in decades. Then Jesus said the words that were the answer to the man's prolonged prayers. I do will it. Be made clean. And after the leprosy miraculously left him, Jesus gave him instructions to go see the priest and go through the rites of the Mosaic Law for testimony of a cure of leprosy so that he, so long an outcast, could return to the human community. This is the Jesus we're called to imitate. This is the Jesus who St. Pietrelcina emulated, and because of his desire to imitate Jesus in his care, built this house for the relief of suffering. The Lord turns to each of us today as he turned to Pio and said, "Come, follow me." We're not called necessarily to imitate Jesus in caring for those with Hansen's disease, because thanks be to God and the gift of modern medicine, leprosy has been eradicated in the United States and in many parts of the world. Most of us, as far as I know, are not gifted with the Lord's divine power to work stupendous miracles of healing. So we're not called, like Pio, to imitate Christ the Thaumaturgus, the great miracle worker. But what Christ is calling us to do is to love the outcasts with the same love that he does. The love that would make him go to the cross all over again for them if he needed to. Christ wants us to give love with a special predilection to the many types of lepers who still exist today, all those who remain outcasts, to the bodily lepers, those with AIDS, those who are obese, those whom the world considers ugly or unattractive, those whose illnesses are too long-lasting, that few want to care for them, to the psychological lepers, those with mental illnesses or mental disabilities, those with Alzheimer's who can't even remember their family members' names or identities, about whom many others might make jokes but have no time for, the spiritual or the moral lepers, the pedophiles, the drug addicts, the prostitutes, the transvestites, the death row inmates, those who have committed very shameful public sins, and those who think their sins can't be forgiven, the economic lepers, the homeless or the very poor, those who are shut off from society and the things most of the rest of us in society take for granted, the racial lepers, the gypsies, or depending upon where one lives, those of a particular skin color, be it brown or black or yellow, or their country of origin, or what color card they carry in their pockets, or the emotional lepers, those who, because of their own psyche or because of the accumulated pain caused by others' actions, feel completely alone and abandoned by God and by those who claim to be his followers. These are among the ones Jesus wants us to reach out and heal through a very human touch, to bring back from the margins into communion with him and with us. We see in the lives of the saints that very often their path to deep sanctity occurred when they began to care for the outcast. Just a couple days ago on pilgrimage in Assisi, we examined how St. Francis was a carefree young man riding around on his horse preparing to see glory as a soldier. As he was leaving his hometown and going to the plain, he saw a leper come out from among the shrubs. Francis' horse jerked out of repugnance. Francis looked at the leper for what seemed like an eternity and just dropped money because he didn't want to come close to touching him, and he sped off. But then, as you see in that image, with a dejected head outside the facade of the upper basilica, he knew that that wasn't what the Lord was screaming to him in the tribunal of his conscience to do. And Francis obeyed the Lord then. He turned around. He dismounted. He took up some of the coins that were still on the ground. He pressed them into that leper's hand. And then he embraced the leper. A wave of emotion rushed over Francis, and he was filled with the exhilaration that comes when we abandon all fears and conventions and really love others as Christ loves us. And as Francis withdrew his embrace, he raised his head to look at the leper in the eyes. But the man was no longer there. Neither was the old Francis. Everything was changed. Likewise for us, the path to our sanctity, and the only reason why we exist is to become a saint. The path to our sanctity begins with our loving those whom the world finds unlovable. As we learn from the example of St. Francis, every time we care for an outcast, we're caring for Christ. The Lord Himself told us that everything we do or fail to do to one of the least of His brothers and sisters, we do or fail to do to Him. He didn't say every time we care for one of the most impressive of His brothers or sisters. Every time we do what everybody else is doing and paying attention to the rich and the famous and the wealthy and the holy, that's when He's going to be proudest of us. No, He says the least, the scumbags, the nobodies. That's when we're caring for Him. Christ takes on the disguise of the pariah. In the amount of love we show the castaway, it's the amount of love we have for Him. I'm always haunted by that saying of Dorothy Day, which I think itself is a proof that she is a saint. She said, "We love the Lord to the extent that we love the person we like the least." We could gloss what she said. We love the Lord Jesus to the extent that we love the person whom we find most repugnant, most difficult to love. He's going to give us the grace to love that person. But we got to want it. If You will it, Lord, You can make me love this way. The Lord says, "I do will it. Be made clean. Be made capable of this type of love." But let's be honest. It's hard to love those who are unlovable. But that's the standard Jesus gives us. Like a leper, He became full of disgusting open bodily wounds. Like a leper, He was cast out of the city and left abandoned with other outcasts on crosses, normally left by the Romans so that the vultures could come and pluck out their eyeballs. As Isaiah wrote about Him 700 years before, He had no form or majesty that we should look at Him, nothing in His appearance that we should desire Him. He was despised and rejected by others, a man of suffering and acquainted with infirmity. And as one from whom others hide their faces, He was despised, and we held Him of no account at all. Surely He has borne our infirmities and carried our diseases. Yet we accounted Him stricken, struck down by God and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon Him was the punishment that made us whole. And by His bruises we were made healed. I do will it. Be made healed. And that was more than words. That was body language. By His wounds we were healed. I do will it. I will it all the way to my death. Be made clean. If we draw near to Christ, He waits for us on a modern Calvary in the disguise of contemporary outcasts. Pope Francis has called the entire world a field hospital. He wants us to go out to care for those who have been wounded on the battlefield, to become good Samaritans who cross the road to meet those who have been forsaken, and to care for them like Christ the Good Samaritan crossed the road all the way from heaven to earth to care for us, to cross that road, to touch others, to sacrifice for them. And we learn how to do that right here in the School of the Mass, just like St. Pio did. As Blessed Mother Teresa has taught her missionaries of charity, the only way we're able to recognize Christ's face in the distressing disguise of the poorest of the poor is by learning how to recognize Him in the host, in the disguise of bread and wine. That's what opens up our eyes to see Him in all the other disguises He takes. This is where Padre Pio learned not just his love for Christ and made it grow, but also his love and his ability to see Christ in others. For 15 years, from 1945 to 1959, he celebrated Mass here. He entered into the mystery of Christ. He touched Christ and was touched by Christ. And it was here, with that touch of the Lord inside of him, that he was able to become the Lord's hands going out to touch others. He wept at Mass copious tears over what God was doing for him and for all of us. He was once asked about his tears in his three-hour-long daily Masses. And he said, "I don't want to shed small tears. I want to shed a torrent of tears. Don't you see the great mystery of the Mass?" And he added, "Every Holy Mass, heard with devotion, produces in our souls marvelous effects, abundant spiritual and material graces which we ourselves don't know. It's easier for the earth to exist without the sun than for us to exist without the holy sacrifice of the Mass." It's how important this is. It was because of that daily touching of the Lord that he was able to spread that touch. God does will us, God does will you and me to be clean. He does will us to become his hands, his feet, his heart, to help others become clean. And in doing so, he will make us truly human as we bring his compassion out to the world to help others form what St. John Paul II said Padre Pio formed at the Casa. A spiritual and human climate so that others can encounter God and discover not just who they are, but how loved they are. We can, like he, help others to rediscover their full dignity. What is our house for the relief of suffering? We call it the church. God wills us to be clean and then wants to make us the divine physicians, nurses, to go out into the field hospital of the world and bring the medicine of his merciful love. God says to us today through St. Paul and through St. Pio, imitate me just as I imitate Christ. And here at Mass, we receive all the help we need for that imitation. St. Pio of Pietrelcina. Amen.